If there's one story I've often... Oh, I can hear geese. My goodness, I can hear geese. Sorry, where was I? I could hear geese. Slightly puts you off what you're doing when you can hear geese. Okay, if there's a story which I've often heard of but never read myself, it's the story of William Tell, which, what's this piece of paper? You are now going to read William Tell. Oh, great, this is fantastic. This is like Jim will fix it. Oh, great, thank you, Pilar. Right, okay, so we're going to read the story of William Tell. That was a good bit of luck, wasn't it? Right, here we go, William Tell. What's it all about? I don't know, William. Do tell. Ba-bum-tsh. Right, okay, here we go. Beginning of the story. Well, William Tell was born towards the close of the 13th century. He's some sort of Robin Hood figure, isn't he, I think. I cannot tell you the precise year of his birth, but in the year 1307 he was a married man and lived with his wife and children in the village of Berglen, near the great town of Altdorf, in the canton of Uri, or Uri. Tell maintained his family chiefly by hunting the chamois. Hunting birds and things, basically. Okay. So skillful was he in the use of the bow that the fame of his exploits in that way had obtained him the name of the Crossbowman of Berglen. It's a bit of a rubbish name, though, isn't it? He was also very skillful in the management of boats upon the lakes. His father had followed his profession of a pilot, and William Tell, though he preferred the life of a hunter, understood the navigation of the lakes better than almost any boatman in the canton of Uri. It was a saying, apparently, that William Tell knew how to handle the rudder as expertly as the bow. You can imagine, can't you? It all sort of like sitting there joking and drinking. But William Tell knew how to handle the rudder as expertly as a bow. Yes. Okay. In short, he was a person of strong natural talents, who observed on everything he saw and acquired all the knowledge he could. Switzerland was at that time in a state of slavery to Albert, Duke of Austria, who had recently been selected Emperor of Germany. He had taken great offence with the Swiss because they wished Count Adolf of Nassau to be elected Emperor of Germany instead of him. The first use he made of his power was to punish the Swiss for having... Well, they are very swish, aren't they, the Swiss? For having favoured the cause of his rival. Did you support my cause? The rival of my... Oh, forget it. And he was so unwise as to declare publicly that he would no longer treat them as subjects, but as slaves. Not very nice, really, is he? In pursuance of this wicked resolution, he deprived them of many of their rights and privileges and altered their ancient laws and customs. By these proceedings, the emperor rendered his government very unpopular. And when he found the people expressed dissatisfaction, how many syllables has that got? It's got quite a little, hasn't it? He built castles and fortresses all over the country, filled them with soldiers to awe the people into submission. I like that. I'm going to awe you into submission. Oh, no more, please. I can't stand it. I'm submitted. In each of these fortresses, he placed a governor who exercised despotic power in the district over which his sway extended. Oh no, is his sway extending again? The inhabitants of the canton Uri, in particular, had to complain of the oppression of the German governor Gessler, who had committed all kinds of horrible things and acted in such a manner as to excite general indignation by his pride, cruelty and injustice, all the worst personality traits, I think. The whole country was indeed ripe for a revolt. Oh, you know what, this is revolting! In case an opportunity should occur of throwing off the, to use the words here, the German yoke. I don't know what's wrong with German eggs, I love them myself. Actually, just for the record, I've never eaten a German egg before, so there we go. Okay, more from William Tell tomorrow on the English programme. Thank you for listening.